Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and good morning. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities. And we presenting Council of Elders Program. Founder is Mr. Jansen Brooks. And we're going to have a really good show for you guys today. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. We're going to have a good show. So y'all get ready. I hope you got your coffee. Okay, so because we're going to have a good one. And with that said, I'm going to pass it to Mr. Jansen Brooks. Go ahead, Mr. Brooks.
Thank you, Mr. John Brown. And I want to welcome everybody to this week's edition of the Council of Elders program on Uplifting Communities. Just for you new listeners, I want to talk about the purpose of the Council of Elders. The purpose of the Council of Elders is for older people, elders, if you will, to give advice, counsel, and life experience to younger people. Advice that can help them navigate successfully through life, deal with issues, and avoid some of the pitfalls that can affect everyone. The concept is based historically on African culture, where elders in the community had council members to help guide tribe members, settle disputes, etc. My dream is to have a Council of Elders group or organization in every community in America, and for them to be known about in the community so that people could have an opportunity to get advice from elders about their concerns. But it first starts with a single group. So I'm establishing a group of elders here in Sacramento, California area, and I'd like to have about 10 volunteers. Once we get enough volunteers, we can go to youth centers, juvenile halls, boys and girls clubs, and churches, etc. We can also be available to young adults as well. Sometimes they need advice on how to raise kids, how to get along in their careers, marriages, etc. Moving forward, this Council of Elders is an effort to bridge the gap between young people and elders. The younger generation today and the older generation should start to merge. And with that said, let me just say that the Council of Elders has gotten a new member this week. His name is Ron Rogers. And Ron, I want you to come on for just a bit to start the council off, and then after Ron, we'll introduce the rest of the group. Go ahead, Ron.
Good morning. Good morning. Very proud to be associated with this gentleman, Mr. Brooks. I've known him for some time now, and I know how God is in his heart, and I just want to be a part of that. Just a little bit on my background is pretty much a salesman all my life, working in sales and promotions. But you learned a lot, even though I did not finish from college. I was a young man with way too much money, and I got in the streets. The Lord brought me back. And he's been bringing me back for many years. So that's my guidance, especially at this point. I'm 68 years old. I've got two daughters. I've got five grandkids and five great-grandkids. So, yes, I have been busy. And I hope that the Lord will keep blessing me the way he's always done. So.
All right. Thank you, Ron. We're so happy to have you join the Council of Elders. You have a lot of experience and wisdom, and moving forward, we're going to be trying to help some young folks as they're coming along. Okay.
Amen.
Next, we have Mr. Thomas Dillard. Thomas is on the panel today. Thomas, if you'll just introduce yourself and tell a little bit about yourself.
Yes, thank you, Jensen. My name is Thomas Dillard. I'm originally from the southern part of Virginia, down in the tobacco belt. I left Virginia in the early 70s and joined the Air Force. Had no intention of staying in the Air Force at the time, but just about the time I got ready to get out, the energy crunch hit back in the 70s. And I spent 20 years, 9 months, and 2 days in the Air Force and enjoyed every minute of it. After the Air Force, I had an opportunity to work for United Airlines, and I worked for them for 16 years, and then I retired. My days now comprise mostly of playing golf and doing volunteer work for the VA, and just hanging around with my wife. Thank you for having me, Jensen, and I look forward to the discussion.
All right. Next, we have Walter Williams, who's been with us ever since day one. Walter, if you would just give us a little bit of your background, and then we'll go to our special guest today.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here once again. My name is Walter Williams, Jr. I'm a 71 graduate of Aliceville High School, along with our host, Mr. Jansen Brooks. I did my undergraduate studies at Miles College in Birmingham, Alabama. I then served in the United States Army. And my career, I did a 38-year career in law enforcement at the federal level, the municipal level, and campus policing. I'm retired. I'm a child of God, been saved by the blood, and I'm just happy to be here today. Thank you.
All right. Now, we have our special guest today, Mr. Paul Walker. And I met Mr. Walker Monday of this week at a car dealership. And he really impressed me. He's 88 years old, Mr. Walker, if I can tell your age, and he's still driving around Northern California. He told me he had been married for 65 years, and Mr. Walker started dropping some wisdom on me that I thought, well, I should invite him to the show today. And also I had another friend, Thomas Dillard, who, well, let me say, Mr. Walker is from Virginia. He was in the Air Force. Thomas Dillard is from Virginia. He was also in the Air Force. So I just thought it would be fun to put these two together today and talk about, you know, their history, and particularly our special guest, Mr. Paul Walker. Mr. Walker, would you come on and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I seem to be the youngest guy in the crowd right now. I'm only 88 years old.
Thank God.
I was born in a little town in Warrenton, Virginia, 45 miles from Washington, D.C. I left Warrenton 70 years ago last April. Went to Buffalo, New York, tried to get a job. And then I got my draft notice. I joined the Air Force in October of 1950. I spent 26 years in the Air Force. And after I retired from the Air Force, I went to the post office. And I got credit for 20 years, 5 months in the post office. And everybody was going to Korea, and I got lucky. I went to France, and I spent 51 glorious months over there. Mm. And I retired from the post office and started walking. And I go walking every day and playing pinochle. And if some of you guys know a little bit about dominoes, I played that too. And
okay.
I've had a wonderful life. I've had a wonderful life, and thank you for inviting
me. All right. Well, Mr. Walker, we were talking yesterday, and Thomas and I were really fascinated at your memory. You were telling us the exact day that World War II ended, and you can remember, you know, dates and history like that. And so I guess when I met you, one of the things that I wanted to know is, do you have any tips for us? Because I'm sure everybody that's listening today would love to be 88 years old, driving around their car, exercising. So just what are some of your advice to younger people as to, you know, a long and healthy life?
Hey, excuse me, Mr. Jensen.
Uh-huh.
Okay, before we go into the show, I would like to tell them a little bit about Uplifting Communities Talk Show, okay, and
sure.
introduce myself, all right? And the reason for that is because I think it's very important for the audience and your guests, you know, to let them know about Uplifting, what this platform is all about.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, I know this is your show,
John.
But you know. But anyway, I'm John L. Brown, okay? And this platform right here is Uplift Communities Talk Show. We've been on air for the past 5.5 years, okay? And we have a lot of people that came on this show. And also I have Uplifting Communities Talk Show. It has a television show. Okay, it's a local channel, Access Sacramento. I want to say that, especially for this last gentleman, 88 years old? Oh, man, that's amazing. You know, I wish I can live to be that long, you know, 88,
Amen.
To tell my story. But I really appreciate you guys, you understand? I really appreciate Mr. Jensen with Council of Elders, and he reached out to me, and he wanted to do Council of Elders. And I said, let's do it. I'll put you on our platform. Because I think this is a very important segment, Council of Elders. We need more people like you guys to come on. And hopefully that somebody is on this platform, on this radio show, can take the knowledge and pass it on. Okay, that's all I have to say. Go ahead, Mr. Jensen.
All right. Getting back to our special guest today, Mr. Walker. Mr. Walker, what are some of your advice to folks, you know, for long life and thriving, you know, as they go along?
I have some advice, and I learned it from my grandfather, and I also learned it from the Bible. Honor thy mother and thy father. And I practice that, and I use it throughout my life. There are things that my grandfather told me when I was a little guy, and it still came to me many times during my careers in the Air Force and the post office. And he always told me, don't hate anybody. And he always said that treat people the way that you would like to be treated. And I never yelled at anybody. I was in a lot of supervisory positions and all of this. I never yelled at anybody. But I just get close to them and talk to them lightly. And that was my success.
Okay. So you grew up in Warrenton, Virginia. Tell us a little bit about your childhood.
Well, I grew up on a little 3-acre farm that my grandfather owned 3 miles from downtown Warrenton, with about a population of about 500. and I went to work as a shining shoes, and I worked in the barbershop, and then at age 13, this old bald-headed guy told me he was going to teach me how to cut hair, and I told him he wasn't. And my father used to walk by the barbershop every night because he cleaned up buildings and things. And he told my dad that he wanted to teach me how to cut hair. And Dad come in. I went in the house, and Dad came and sat on the bed, and he says, "Paul, people have to go to barber school, and you got a chance to learn it free." And he didn't tell me I had to cut hair. That's all he told me. And he says, "People have to go to school, barber school, and all this stuff." And I went back up there and learned how to cut hair, and cut hair for about 5 years, from age 13 to 18. And then I decided that Warrenton was too small, so I went to Buffalo. And as I said, I got my draft notice, and everybody was going to Korea. The Korean War started June 25, 1950, and I joined the Air Force October 27, 1950. And I've enjoyed a wonderful life. Thank you.
Right. Well, I'm sure the listening audience is quite impressed how this man knows the day he joined the Air Force, know the day the Korean War started. Also, we have Thomas Dillard on the show today. And Thomas, you also grew up in Virginia. Today is kind of a Air Force Virginia theme day. So, Thomas, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, Jensen, I grew up on a farm as well, the family farm in this little town called Freeman, Virginia. And we grew tobacco and corn and cotton and anything that would make us money. The only thing that I remember my mother going to the store to buy is sugar, salt, and pepper. And pretty much everything else that we ate, we grew or we raised. And I had the opportunity, just like Mr. Walker, when I finished high school, and during that time, it was totally segregated in that part of the country. And when I finished high school, I didn't have the money to go to college at the time. And so I decided I was going to go in the military because like Mr. Walker, I had my draft notice to go in the Army during the Vietnam War. So I chose to go in the Air Force. And just before I finished high school, I had the opportunity to go to a college that they were trying to bring in African-American students to integrate the school in 1966. So we had at Virginia Tech, we had something like at that time 15,000 students, and in 1966 we brought in 30 African American students to integrate that college. So that's how I got my education. And then after that, the war was still going on, so I joined the Air Force and spent 20 years in the Air Force, like I said, and moved all over the country and overseas, and had a chance to visit a lot of places. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. As Mr. Walker mentioned about his grandfather saying not to hate, that was ingrained in me with my parents as well. No matter what happened, always try to turn the other cheek, always try to find some good in people, always try to be kind to people, and if you can't muster those qualities up, then just turn around and walk away. And so that's the life that I have tried to live for the time that I've been here. So I'll just end it right there, so you can ask questions if you like.
Okay. Mr. Walter, you was telling us yesterday we were talking about your time in France. Can you tell us that this was, I guess, in the early 50s you were there?
51. August the 13th, 1951.
How was life in France in August of 1951 for you?
Well, it's a lot different from the way it was in this country, because Virginia was really segregated, and you know, you couldn't go in stores and stuff like that and sit at the counter. And I went to town in France, and I was looking for a place to, you know, where we hung out, and I found out that it wasn't like that. We didn't have one special place to go. We could go anywhere. And I got to learn how to speak French. And these old guys taught me how to speak French. Of course, they taught me all of the bad words first. And so I learned all of them, and then they taught me a little conversational French, and I don't know all of the French participles and all of those stuff that they tried to teach me in high school. I had French in high school 2 years, and I found out when I got to France, I didn't know anything. I knew what a door was, I knew what a window was, and I knew how to say, shut your mouth, ferme la bouche. And that was the best years of my life. Like I said, I spent 51 glorious months over there, and I got out and mingled with the people, and used to those little country dances out in the 4 or 5 miles from Châteauroux, France, and I used to go out dancing every weekend. And finally, and I used to cut hair in the latrine, because we used to have those standby inspections every Saturday. And if you didn't have a haircut, you didn't get your 3-day pass or your weekend pass. And so I cut hair and made a little money and bought me a car. And then I went to Paris, which was about 175 miles away. I used to ride the train to Paris. It took 3 hours to go 175 miles. And I learned how to speak French, and I associated with the people. And most of the time, I never spoke a word of English, because the guys I worked with on the base were all French. And I used to dream in French and all of that. And I had such a wonderful time. And so, that was a lot different from Warrenton, Virginia.
Right. And, sir, this is Ron Rogers, and I'm kind of historian, and this is something I've always heard. I mean, we've heard of our musicians, our actors, actresses going to France at this time, and I know it's been a while since you've been there, but can you give us some insight, because hopefully this will help in our country. What's gone wrong that even the French now, who were so open and liberated with change, why do you think it's gone so wrong?
Well, the immigration over there in France, they were bringing in a lot of people from Africa, a lot of people from Libya, and the French had French colonies all over the world, really. And
yes.
That sort of changed just like here. You had good people and bad people. But the French police were real good. They'd take you to the, they'd take you, I didn't make it though. They'd take you to jail and beat you everywhere but on the bottom of your feet.
Oh, and, Lord.
It was good, huh?
and they never would, and not leave a mark on you.
Yeah.
And well, I never.
Yeah. I mean, it was covered up evidently fairly well because you had black folks wanting to go over there rather than stay here.
Yeah.
And again, that's the reason I was asking. Do you have any proposals mm-hmm. as to what has gone so wrong?
Like, yeah, when you say gone so wrong, what do you mean, gone so wrong? Explain that a little bit.
Well, we should be moving more toward the middle. Not it's like that pendulum. It's always going to swing too far. But if we're on our way back, why have we lost so much before we even start the pendulum back the other way? We really can't stand, you know. And again, there's a lot of things that's going on, like you say. Just they beat you up now, they'll kill you now. But it just seems it's gone so far before it needed to, because we're only talking about the 50s. I was at that radical group too in the 60s. I don't know. I'm just posing a question, if you will.
Right. Well, I think to me it's just a constant struggle. The thing is that it seemed like the more things, more time goes on, the more it remains the same.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if our lifetime is the struggle is going to end. You know. So I'm just in for a long fight and just a constant back and forth. It doesn't even bother me anymore. I'm just. But you know what? I wanted to kind of talk about. You know, our whole thing is trying to influence younger people and just trying to let them know the right ways to go. And, of course, they have their own ideas about what to do and what not to do. But it's a lot that we can learn from them, and it's a lot that they can learn from us. I guess my thing is, what do we tell the youth as to how to deal with the situation today? Any thoughts on that? How do we advise young people in this environment in terms of moving forward? Go ahead, Mr. Walker.
My grandfather taught me that you listen to people, and if you met a person that you couldn't get along with, get away from it. And I got my driver's license in 1947, and knock on wood, I have never had a moving violation. And I've driven all over the world, France, Italy, Germany, Vietnam, Japan, Australia, and I have never got a thing. And one thing that my father told me, says, if you drive the speed limit, you don't have to worry about looking for a cop because he ain't going to bother you. And I practiced that, and I've been successful.
Right.
Thank you.
I have to say, a lot of people tease me because I go the speed limit, and they say I'm going too slow. So, but that's what I tell them, Mr. Walker. I don't want tickets.
But, could I say something, Jensen?
Sure, go ahead.
This is Thomas Sterling, and I think the most important thing that we can tell young folk is to vote. No matter what the situation, no matter what your level is that you must vote, not only at the national level, but at the state level, but at the county level, at the city level, even at your community level. If your community has a meeting or whatever, you've got to make sure that you vote and let yourself be heard. You can go out in the streets and you can yell and scream as much as you want, but what counts is voting. And then go out in the street. I'm not saying that we shouldn't exercise our amendment rights. I'm just saying the first step is to vote. And then go out there and yell and scream, and don't break windows. You know, demonstrate, but don't break windows. And I think that's what the young people need to hear, because the only way you're going to make change is to change the leadership and have the leadership represent you. And the only way you can have the leadership represent you is to vote. And I'm getting excited because and I'll just stop there.
I have to jump in and say this here. You're now listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show, presenting Council of Elders program. And Mr. Jensen, we have people on the lines right now. They're trying to get in to ask questions. And before we let the audience in to ask questions, keep your comments down or whatever to about 1 minute, because we got quite a few people on the line right now. So back to you, Mr. Jensen, and let me know when you're ready to start bringing people in.
Okay, we can start now, John.
Okay.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
This is Oscar Bassan, Sacramento, California. I was just listening to the conversation. I too am a retired Army, and I've been around the world. And to keep my conversation short, I totally agree. That how you treat other people is a direct reflection on how you get treated, number one. Number two is voting, as Mr. Dillard already pointed out, is the most important aspect of your freedom in America. Everybody is lining up to get into America, crossing the borders illegally, even trying to get here because we have something special. So I sincerely want you to know that voting is your most important amendment right, because that will put somebody in that office that thinks like you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You right? All right. Right. Thank you, Oscar. Next person, John.
Caller, state your name and where you calling from.
Yeah, my name is Pianchi. I'm calling from the Midwest. Somebody made a comment about getting away from someone, I think the grandfather told him. How did that go again?
If you can't get along with somebody, get away from them.
All right, that's a good idea. Now, I supported and voted for Donald Trump because of my interests and values. I'm black. I'm African American. And what you said is absolutely right. Because if you support someone who don't share your same interests and values, then it's like taking a step forward than taking two steps backwards. So that there has to be considered and thought out very well. And people have to, you said about respecting people, that's absolutely true. You should respect people. You don't have to accept their ideologies, but you have to respect them. In this country, two men can marry. I respect it, but I don't accept it. So
yeah.
I just
Amen.
Want to put that
Amen.
Out.
Amen.
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 All right, all right. Where you calling from, caller? Okay,
sir.
John, thank you, sir.
I'm calling from the Midwest.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks for calling in. Okay, John, go ahead.
Well, the board is open right now, so if you guys want to ask a question or elaborate on something with the panel, please press 1, okay? That's the only way I'm going to be able to let you in. You got to press 1 to let me know that you guys want to ask a question or elaborate on something. And back to you, Mr. Johnson.
I got a further question, if you don't mind.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
I heard someone made mention about the situation of today. And then someone was making mention about France. On those two things, what exactly do they mean? Especially as far as young people in the situation of today.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
I think I do, and please correct me. This is Ron Rogers. Please
mm-hmm.
correct me if I'm going the wrong direction. But that was me that was asking about the acceptance of us, if you will, in white France, if you will, because, you know, at that time and what he was thinking, our distinguished gentleman was thinking, would be the cause of that now. Here not too long ago, I've been in Dallas for quite a while, and
mm-hmm.
one of the old councilmen, his name was Royce West. I knew West back in the day. You know, he was just an old hell raiser who got elected to a council seat and did some stuff. He came back years later. He's now a senator or a representative. But he had to come back and explain to the young people how to protest. What you're doing is not protesting. What you're doing is a riot. And that's not who you want to march with. That was his simple message. Get it right. If you're going to do it, you have to have a mentor. Look to somebody. Look to, like John Lewis. Vote. You want to change things? Vote. He spent his whole life
okay,
doing
I under-
that. And that's what I was saying.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Now, as far as France is concerned, France is, like many other societies, ethnocentric. And I think we know what ethnocentric means. You have the same thing
mm-hmm.
in Africa. You have societies
right.
in Africa, like the Akan, that you cannot become a member of because you're not what they consider pure them. You know, I hear African Americans say that they are African, but no, they're not. They're American citizens because if you try to get into one of those African societies, for instance, like the Akan with Osei Tutu, you could not become a paramount chief because you're not a pure Ashanti or an Akan. Now, as far as on the young people, I think the most important thing that we could tell them and also that you could do for them is get them highly educated because they have to be able to compete. Without the skills, you're not going to be able to compete. You're competing with a world today. It's not just people
Amen.
In your neighborhood.
Amen.
And those young people that's out there, those people that's out there that's riding and looting and protesting, well, they have realized at a point in their life that something's wrong. Now, the child that the parents nurtured assessed and evaluated for what their inner ability are and steered them into those directions for something that's high demand and that's willing to pay high wages and high salary, and they've done very well at it, they would never have to compete with those that's out there riding and looting.
Yeah.
Because coming out of high school, going into college, coming out of college, they already have what's highly demanded. But those out there that's looting and riding, they're not going to be able to compete with them. I mean, it's just making common sense.
But I think that was his message also. See, those that have, like you said, God bless the kid that has his aunt. You want him to have that basic. But you cannot allow yourself to become associated with those that do not have the same interests.
Absolutely.
That's the reason I'm saying his message was this: if you're not walking for a better America, if you will, then you're looting, you're rioting. And that's not
you're absolutely right.
About.
And I want to say another thing, too. Yeah. Now, you mentioned some of these politicians, like you mentioned John Lewis. Now, John Lewis was good for civil rights as an activist that he was and what he done at the time. It was the time, it was that time that called for certain things. Same thing with King and others. But as a politician, the issues that he stood for, I really didn't care for. Now, I didn't live in his district, the 5th district in Georgia. Maybe the people
right.
like that. But me living in another state, he harmed me. And let me give you an example. John Lewis was for open borders. You just got through talking about illegals coming into the country, and they're having access to things that even normal citizens don't have. Now, let me give you an example. Illegals, refugees, yeah.
Excuse me, sir. I would like to get back to our special guest today.
Oh, okay.
The theme of this show is not necessarily political today, so maybe at another day, you know, we can get into.
Well, I wasn't trying to talk on the politics. I was just trying to, you know, show you how to uplift your community. You can't uplift the community if you're supporting things and doing things that's effectively bringing down the community. And if you take time to analyze and look at these things that's being supported and proposed, they actually do bring down the community. And one thing that can give you an indication that it is, you're having this conversation today.
Right. Well, I'd like to get back to our special guest today, Mr. Walker. Mr. Walker, I understand you were a mechanic.
Aircraft mechanic, yeah.
Okay. Mm. And I know you were telling me about some of the places that you were stationed in North Dakota or something?
No, Loring Air Force Base, Maine. I was up in Maine.
Oh, okay.
Five miles from the Canadian border, 251 miles from Quebec. And when I say Quebec,
okay.
It was cold up there.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was saying. That's cold.
Right. So as you spent your career in the Air Force, I understand you're saying you were in leadership positions at times, or
well, I was a technical instructor for 10 years. I taught aircraft maintenance on the B-52 and the Weatherbird out here in California, the WC-135.
Okay, so you had a crew?
No, I didn't have a crew. I was in a place called FTD, the Field Training Detachment. And we were a bunch of instructors. We were a bunch of instructors with every career field, like electronics, hydraulics, sheet metal, and all of this.
Okay. So one question that I would have for you is that you had to communicate as you were instructing, and as elders, that's one thing that, you know, we do hopefully can improve our communications with younger people. So talk to us a little bit about your methods, your ways of communicating with your class.
Well, one little thing that I can remember real well is that I'd be standing up instructing, and there would be a white guy up there that had the same attitude that they had down south, that we didn't know anything. And I settled that real quick by getting the technical order and then have him read exactly what I said. And then when he went back to his section, he let everybody know, don't mess with him because he will embarrass you. And not intentionally. I got their attention, and it worked for me. I was supposed to be an instructor for 3 years with a one-year extension, and I had 10 years, like in 19 days, in the classroom. So I felt good about that they gave me that easy job for 10 years.
Right.
It sounds like you deserve it.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Somebody's got noise in the background from one of you guys. So
not from me.
Oh. Okay.
So if you're not talking, you can everybody. You can mute your phone for any background if you're not talking. You know.
Yeah.
So,
well, the reason why I say that is because, you know, the radio show picks up every little thing. Oh, yeah, it picks up everything, and it's hard to edit
it out. Right. Okay. So, did anyone on our panel have any questions, comments for Mr. Walker today?
I have a question for Mr. Walker. Mr. Walker, I'm a Vietnam veteran. Okay. I fought in the Vietnam War, and I got there I think it was December 1968, and I was in the Marines. And I heard you mention something about the B-52 bomber. I hadn't seen it flown in Vietnam many days. You know, up in the bush.
Yeah.
The B-52 bombers, didn't they carry napalm too?
Not to my knowledge. Because it never flew. Yeah, for napalm, you had to be down low. And those B-52s, when they were over in Nam, they were up 30,000 feet.
Well, they dropped a lot of bombs, though.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of bombs in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. Okay. I don't know what made me think that they was carrying the napalm, too. Just a question. Now I know.
Yeah.
I was in the Marines.
Yeah, I know, and I didn't envy you guys. I used to see you guys. I used to see those Marines come out of the boondocks with leeches crawling on them and all that. And I said, and I had a clean set of fatigues on. So, and I did not envy you guys.
Yep. I did 3 tours there. 3 tours in Vietnam. I'm still alive.
Well, you're blessed.
Mr. Roscoe in Sacramento, can you hear me?
Yeah,
Mr. Walker,
can you hear
me? Oh, okay.
Yes,
I wasn't sure. Mr. Walker, you were involved with the Air Force. Were you in combat? And I heard you say you were in France. Were you involved with, because like Mr. Brown was talking about, Were you involved with like Agent Orange and those kind of things? Are you a disabled veteran also?
Oh yes, I was on the Caribou over there in Vietnam. We used to have a little airplane, the C-7, the Caribou, that took rations to you Marines and all of the Army guys out in the boondocks. But
right.
I was always stationed on a base. And the only time I went out in the boondocks is if one of my airplanes broke down. I went down to get it, to fix it, and then get it back to base.
I have Agent Orange.
I'm a diabetic, and I've been shooting up for 40 years, three times a day.
So am I, because I'm starting off the day right now hypoglycemic. So my sugar was 54 this morning, so I'm not in too good a shape. But I just wanted to ask you, because make sure you get your disability.
Oh, I've been 100% for 21 years.
Oh, excellent. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're
glad to have you, sir, because your experience and your life experiences are a blessing to kids and those around you. So you're an example of what can happen when you do right by other people. You're a blessing to me. And may God continue to anoint you to do the work that He left you here to do.
Yes, amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you for your service, sir.
And by the way, I wear my Vietnam cap every time I go out of the house. And if I see a veteran or another guy with one of those caps on, whether he was World War II all the way up to Vietnam, and even over in Iraq and places like that, I talk to them. I say something to them. And sometimes a lot of them are down in the dumps, and when I start talking with them, I bring them right out of it. And then I sort of give them advice and ask them what their disabilities are and ask them, are they going to the VA and stuff like that. And I've helped many guys get what he was do.
Well, we need you, sir, and we need your life experiences, and we need you to encourage people, because something has happened in the world these days, and I don't know, Ron was pointing it out. Something is happening in our world today, and people like to blame it on one particular thing. But I'm a firm believer in as a Christian, and I believe until Christ comes back, we're not going to really have peace anyway. But something is happening.
Yeah, it always depends on how you carry yourself. If you carry yourself well, then people will respect you.
I got something that's on my mind. We got, five or six more minutes. But if any younger people are out there that's thinking about going into the military, Mr. Walker and Mr. Dillard, any advice that you would give them as someone that's sitting on the fence about going into one of the military branches, any thing that you would tell them?
Yes. This is Paul Walker. I always advise them that, hey, that's a good place to go, and all you have to do is be at the right place at the right time, and you'll never get in trouble. And that's my advice to anybody that wants to go into service. I tell them that, and I encourage them to go.
I echo that, Mr. Walker, and it's a good place to grow up, as you put it, you know, because it'll keep you straight and narrow, and you have an opportunity to advance your education. I don't care what level you come in at, you always have the opportunity to advance your education and to learn a trade that you can use on the outside.
Yes,
Absolutely.
You know, I got to step in on this one. Okay, and the reason for that, and I'm qualified to say this here. When I was in the Marine Corps, I was a combat veteran. Okay, and me, the way to be honest with you, I if they're gonna go to the service, I'm sorry, you know, combat is not the way to go.
No.
Okay. I mean, combat is not the way to go. Because it affected me. It affected a whole bunch of other people that I know that was in the Army and in the Marines.
Yep.
You understand? PTSD. And I wouldn't recommend my dog to go to the Marine Corps and as a combat vet. Oh no. Because I've seen a lot of people hurt.
The PTSD is very bad for you. And I've seen a lot of veterans come back messed up pretty bad. And as Mr. Deller just pointed out a minute ago, there's over 300 military careers you can choose. But we don't have the draft anymore. So when you come in right now, get your education. Do those things that are going to be beneficial to you. Find a career that you can use on the outside. The only career that a military veteran that shoots for a living can have now is to be a sniper. And we don't have a career like called a sniper in America unless you want to work for the police or something. So get a job that you can use when you get outside. Go to college. Get a career and find something that you can be beneficial. I want to make one other point touching on that because this is very significant. Somebody, I think it was Dillard that said it, when I came into service, I was in college for a year. And I got a job, and I got fired from that, the only job I ever been fired from. This is Oscar speaking in Sacramento. And so when I was sitting around the table, my brother said, dining room table, he says, as I see it, you have three choices. You can go back to college. You can find another job, or you can join the military. And the military turned out to be the best career I ever had. So I'm telling you the same thing. Find something that you can do with your life that benefits you. I'm finished.
Okay, well, right. We got 2 minutes and 30 seconds left on the show, and I'm going to ask Mr. Johnson Brooks to close us out.
Yeah, well, thank you, John. This is an interesting conversation today. There were some things that I wanted to delve in a little bit, but the hour goes by so quickly. But we're so happy to have Mr. Paul Walker to join us today, a man who is still active at 88 years old. We would say it would be 89 in September. And
I salute you.
Dropping so much, such an inspiration. We all aspire to be, 88 and still driving and moving around. And I like his attitude about not hating, because hate is toxic. And so we all have to guard ourselves against that. And I think Thomas Dillard for coming on today, and also Ron Rogers, our newest member of the Council of Elders. And with that, I'm going to let Walter Williams close us out in prayer. Anyone listening, call in next Saturday, same time. And Walter, go ahead and close us out.
Thank you, Jansen. Thank you, Mr. Walker, for your service, and all of you gentlemen
you.
Who have served this great nation. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity for men of character, men of courage, and men of your spirit to come together to try to impart knowledge to those who are coming along behind us, Lord. For we get our knowledge from you, because if we want wisdom, we have to ask for it, and we have to ask you, and only you can give wisdom. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for Mr. John L. Brown and his platform to give the Council of Elders a platform to be a help to those men and women who come behind us. May we always keep our eyes on the sky from which cometh our help, for our help cometh from the Lord. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
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 Right.
Amen.
That said, the show is over, everybody. So y'all have a really good weekend, the rest of the weekend. Y'all take care, y'all.
Thank you, John.
All right.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Jan.
See you next.
All right.
God willing.